Welcome to A Dopamine Kick.
Yes, another ADHD podcast.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week and we can hyper-focus together on all things ADHD.
This is our journey to diagnosis, the challenges, frustrations and humour that come when living with ADHD as adults.
Let the interrupting begin!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 112 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we are picking up from last week, we're going back to bullying Sparky. I'm really enjoying these actually, it's quite fun that the pressure is like not on me. But anyway, we're going to the second half of his hyperactivity and impulsivity questions today.
If you haven't already, please consider subscribing to the podcast. You can do that by clicking on the follow button on whatever platform you are listening to us on. If you'd like to leave us a review, that would be really, really appreciated. We love reviews. We love reading them all. Shell particularly enjoys the dopamine from getting a review. And it helps people decide if this is a good podcast to listen to. Because when you're thinking about listening to a podcast, the first thing you usually do, or the first thing I usually do anyway, is check the reviews and see what people are saying. So it really, really helps massively. If you have time, please, please leave us a review. So as Shell said, this week we are talking about filling out an ADHD assessment and let's get back into it. The next one was, do you talk excessively?
I feel like we don't and even obviously. Need to discuss this one.
It's only because we time these podcasts, but honestly, the amount of times we've ran over and we've started going off on a tangent. We forgot what we were talking about. We were just talking about something completely different, going off on a tangent, going on and on and on. I'm just so bad for this one. I really am. I can't say goodbye to people. This is why I know it's really, really rude, but I can't say goodbye to people because I get stuck.
You really can't. You really can't. Every time, like, usually it takes us about 20 minutes to say goodbye, of like saying goodbye and then being carrying on chatting and then saying goodbye and carrying on chatting. And then every now and again, like the other night, I think I needed to go and you were like, all right then, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye. I was like, oh, bye. I went downstairs, but I hadn't even got to the bottom of the stairs and I had a message. So sorry, that was so rude. I didn't mean to sound abrupt. I knew that you had to go and I'm really sorry.
I just felt awful. Like I sat there and I thought, oh no, I'm going to have to message her because that was just so abrupt. It sounded awful.
It was not. It was just not normal. Goodbye.
I just thought, this is what I'm saying. Like I can't stop talking. Like it's almost like I know I'm talking, but I just carry on and on and I just come out with word vomit all the time. I'm doing it now. Like just stop.
So there we go. Yes, very you often. Talk excessively. As an adult, and I suspect certainly as a child.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people said, he doesn't have to go on, doesn't he? And the thing is as well, it's not even like I'm talking about anything that's worth listening to. It's just random crap, random shit. And I can see people shutting down, but I still can't stop myself.
Just can't stop doing it.
Oh, I missed one. Classic ADHD. Do you feel as if you're always on the go?
I mean, yes, for me, for sure.
Definitely for you. That's definitely for you. Yes. I'd obviously say that's quite often for me as well, because I always feel like I've always got something to do, have difficulty.
You always have like a running to-do list. Like whenever we speak, you're always like, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got this to do.
Oh my God, there's so many more questions.
Like you never say like, what are you going to do after recording? Oh, you know, I'm just going to chill out. I'm just going to, you know, relax for the evening. You're always like, oh, I've got to get this done. I've got to get this done. I've got to get that done.
Yeah, that's true. I've always got like 10 things to do at once, and half of the time I've got 10 things to do at once and I don't get any of them done because I'm just thinking about all the things that I've got to do. 100%. Or I'll start doing it but I won't complete it. Yeah, like I'll just start it and then I'll go off onto something else and then it's just like loads of like unfinished tasks, but I feel like I'm constantly doing stuff and I never have time to actually do the things that I want to do, and then time's gone and I'm like, where did time go? I've got like all these unfinished tasks. So yeah, I always feel like I've always got something to do. I never just have peace.
There we go. Always on the go.
I never have peace. I'm not really sure how I'd give a childhood example of that. That's something that I'd have to ask someone that knew me when I was a child, but I guess that kind of means always wanting to do things. Like I was quite adventurous as a kid, as in most kids would be, you know, playing on the beach, they'd stop and have lunch, then they'd want, you know what I mean, just general, like say you were just having a day out at the beach, whereas I would be gone for ages in the rock pools, like just always doing things and then not coming back for lunch. And then my mum would be saying, oh, but you need lunch. It's like, I don't want it. Like, I've got things to do.
I've got shit to do. This is important.
Lunch, yeah. So I guess like that's an example of always on the go, but that's something I'd have to dive deep into. I don't really have any examples. I don't know if you do, Shell.
I think for this, when I was a child, I always had a lot of activities on. So like swimming lessons, gymnastic lessons, like just always, like basically my parents just used to exhaust me as much as possible all the time. So I use that.
Okay, right. Let's do you blurt out answers before a question has been completed?
Yeah.
Very often.
I
feel like I can't stop myself sometimes. Like, I'll know the answer and I'll want to say it. I just can't help myself. And then I'll interrupt people. I need to just get it out. I can't explain it. If I don't get it out, I won't remember it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know why I do this, to be fair.
I find that I blurt out stuff more, like, with people I know better. So I obviously am capable of not doing it, because if I'm like in a really professional setting, or, you know, with someone that I don't know very well, I'm much better at not blurting things out. It's still like, I want to, I still feel like constantly in the conversation, but I can like bite my tongue and not do it. But where I'm with someone that I know well and very comfortable with, it's just constant.
I feel like I'm waiting for them to take a breath so I can jump.
Yeah, so you can get in there. That's my love.
It's like
love.
An art form. Just wait.
So you're not really listening to what they're saying. You're just waiting for the breath.
It's so true. Do you know what? If you go back and listen to this podcast, you will see there is never, ever, ever silence. Unless... I mean, there's obviously the odd occasion, but there's rarely any silence.
It's usually if we're laughing and, like, trying to catch our breath. That's
the only time there's silence on this podcast is when we're trying to catch our breath. There literally is no silence because I just can't stand it. really cannot stand it. So it's just like, I'm like, just, like, blurting out things, particularly... questions when I was a kid. I always wanted to answer the question first. Me. I know the answer. And I'd always like, someone would be talking to me, and I still do this now. They'll be talking to me. It can be anything. It can be a GP, when I went to the opticians, dentist, and I'll be thinking about the answer before they've even asked the question. So they'll start. Like, they'll be going to ask me a question, but I'm already answering it.
Yeah.
So the dentist will be like, you know, how often? Oh, twice a day.
Yeah. Oh, no, I do that. Yeah, absolutely. Preempt the question.
Yeah, preempt it. So that's awful. That is really awful. And I guess as a child, it's the same thing, really, just blurting out answers to the questions, difficulty waiting time.
I find it easier to think of childhood examples because that sort of role of, like, teacher student lends itself very well to blurting out an answer, isn't it? Whereas I found it a bit more difficult to think of examples as an adult, because I wouldn't, you say, you know, like at a pub quiz, for example, I wouldn't necessarily blurt out an answer, but when I'm talking to someone, then I would.
I know what you mean, because you know the rules of the pub quiz, so you obviously
again, it's that like societal pressure and knowing how to behave in public.
And I think...
like being conditioned how to behave in public.
And I think sometimes that's often what gets missed when people think about the examples of these questions. They think, well, I wouldn't really do that because, of course, you wouldn't want to blurt out the answers in a pub quiz because you know the rules of the quiz. Like, you don't want to give the answer away to everyone else. So you're not going to do that. So sometimes you do have to think about these questions because I wouldn't say they're trick questions, but I would say that... sometimes you can think, that's not very me. But actually, when you really think about
it... you can see that, especially, I would say, on the... well, no, for both of them, they're designed for children. You can see that really easily. They're designed for like sort of 7 to 13 year old kids, aren't they, really? All the questions are like perfectly geared for that age bracket.
I really think when it comes to adult ADHD, they really need to think about these questions and update them, because obviously we know now, like this one, next one, for example, do you have trouble waiting your turn, e.g. while waiting in line? Now, if I have to go to a line in a supermarket, I'll go to the shortest one and then I'll kind of move around, like, because I'll be like, oh, I don't want to wait in that one.
Yeah. But
I wouldn't necessarily say that I have a problem with it. It's not like I'm screaming and shouting in the line and going, I can't deal with this. But at the same time, I do have a problem with it. Does that make sense? So it's the way that it's worded.
Yeah. So how my psychiatrist described this to me, because again, I said the same. I was like, well, no, I don't enjoy waiting in a line and I'll be very frustrated and like on edge, but I can do it. And he said, like, has there been times when like you've walked into a shop and you need to get something and you see that there's a massive queue and you just think, no, I can't, I'll come back another time. And I was like, oh yeah. Do that all the time.
I do that all the time as well. Yeah, it's just, so is that what you would say, that's to have trouble waiting your turn?
So that's like an adult equivalent of stroke, because that's something that you have control over. So as a child, you have to wait in line all the time, don't you? And like enforced lines like school or queuing up for stuff, whereas as an adult you choose what queues you join.
This is why I won't go to theme parks, because I can't stand waiting in the queue to get on the ride, like, and again, this is more of an adult thing, I suppose, like just traffic. It's still waiting your turn.
Traffic is what I said, like I really struggle in traffic. Like I'm so like fidgety and restless, and like trying to like crane my neck out to see what's going on, or being stuck on the motorway when you're at standstill on the motorway.
Oh my life. I could just
modern day torture.
Literally. I always try. I've literally taken jobs and not taken jobs before because of the times they start, because I would just refuse to travel in rush hour. So I'm like, I'm not going to take that job because I cannot tolerate. I'd rather start at 4 o'clock in the morning because I know that there's no traffic on the roads.
There we go. That is a perfect adult example of not wanting to wait your turn. You would rather get up at an insanely early time that does not come naturally to you. You're not a morning person, but you'd still rather put yourself through that than wait in a bit of traffic.
Yeah, it's true. I had two job offers at the same time. One started at 5 a.m. and one started at 9. And I took the 5 a.m. one because I just couldn't stand the thought of traveling in rush hour traffic. And then obviously on top of that as well, when you're traveling in rush hour traffic, is because of my time blindness, I'll meet friends and I'll say, yeah, I'll meet at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then it'll be like 1-2 o'clock I'm meeting them and I'm like, I need to get back, I'm just panicking, I need to get back before the kids finish school, I need to get back before people are coming out of work, and I'm always ending up in the fucking traffic anyway. can't win. So yeah, that's number 8. Number 9 is, you interrupt or intrude on others?
Yeah.
That's our whole intro.
Basically, all we do on the podcast is just interrupt each other with more important things.
And it says here, e.g., butting into games or conversations. Well, this is me in a nutshell. This is butting into conversations. If I hear someone over talking, even if it's strangers, I can't help myself. Sometimes I'll be stood somewhere and I'll be hearing like two people having a conversation, and it just takes every fibre of my being not to get involved. And I know the answer to that, or I know what to do. And sometimes I'll just end up just blurting it out anyway. And then obviously games as well, I'm really bad for that. Like I've become this like person who's like, no, you got to do it this way and you got to do it that way and you're doing it wrong.
Enforcer.
Awful. So yeah, very often. That's me. Do you know what? There's actually no impulsivity questions.
Yeah, I think the impulsivity is like blurting out answers, trouble waiting your turn, intruding on others.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say, Shell, about intruding or interrupting other people?
No, I think we've got those covered.
Cool. Well, I guess that's the questionnaire that you need to fill in. Obviously, it's going to be different for different places, but these are the general questions that you're going to get asked. So hopefully they've given you some examples to think about in your own life, and obviously things that we all do when we have ADHD. So I guess there's just time for what did you ADHD this week? And Shell, it's your turn.
It's definitely your turn. No, it's not. Fuck off. I think I've done two in a row now.
I think you might even have done three.
Oh, it's definitely your turn.
Did I tell you about the sofa?
No. What have we done with the sofa?
Oh, I've got a new one.
Another one?
Okay, so, yes.
How many sofas have you had now?
I know. So this was a really, really impulsive thing.
What colour is this one?
This is grey, okay, so it kind of goes with everything.
Not too bad.
So,
I'll remind you of the lime green episode.
Lime green. It didn't go in.
That you hated, like, before it even got in the building.
So this one was an impulsive purchase, so what I'm like going online. So I didn't want to buy, I know this sounds awful, I didn't want to buy a brand new sofa because they're really expensive, and I changed my mind, like, you know,
there's nothing on the, sorry to interrupt the theme of the episode, there's nothing on the questions about impulse spending, and I think that's a huge one for people with ADHD.
This is what I was saying about impulse.
But obviously, like children don't usually have access to money to impulse spend. Yeah, that would be a really good one for adults.
Exactly, that's why I think they need to update the questions. They're just not reflective of 2024.
Yeah, everyone I've spoken to either has a problem with impulse spending or actively manages it. I don't know anybody. I can't think of anybody that's just like, yeah, no, I would never do that. I don't think I've spoken to anybody that's like that.
I agree. I 100% agree.
Anyway, sorry, sofa. Tell me what you've done now. You've got a grey sofa.
I can't remember what I was saying.
Sorry, interrupted.
Oh, that was it. Okay, so very impulsive purchase. So I was just browsing online, as you do. Not looking at all.
Just browsing at sofas.
Clearly was.
So have you actually bought this one? It's not like a Facebook Marketplace one.
No, this is a Facebook Marketplace okay. purchase. So basically, I found the sofa that I wanted and I was going to buy it. And then I came across the same sofa on the Marketplace. So I was like,
of course.
Why would I pay all that money when I can get it from the Marketplace? And it was in really good condition. I thought, it's fine. I know what I'll do. I'll just get the vacuum out, clean it all, give it, you know... It's fine, but obviously on the Marketplace, when you see something, you have to buy it there and then. Like, it almost makes you impulsive. That's my excuse anyway.
No.
So we needed a van.
Yeah.
So I'm messaging Adam about this sofa, and Adam's just being really blasé about it, and I'm getting more and more wound up about it.
We're going to lose it. We need to get it now.
We need this sofa. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not sure about it. But I can visually see it in the house. I can visually see where it's going. I can visually see
your life is now no longer complete until that sofa's in the house.
Yes. Okay. So that's basically what I did. I forced the situation. Adam had to get the van, but then we had the sofa here that had nowhere to go, so that had to go somewhere. So I'm impulsively, desperately, frantically trying to get someone to have our sofa because it just didn't belong in the bin because it still had a lot of years left. So my sister really liked our sofa, so I'm saying to her, do you want the sofa? And she's like, yes. But then she's also got a sofa that needs to go as
oh
well.
Oh my God. So, it's like a sofa chain.
It ended up being the sofa coming here. I had to get that sofa in, our sofa out. I had to go over to my sister's, get her sofa out, my sofa in. Then we had to take the sofa to Adam's parents' house because there was nowhere for her sofa to go and get the sofa. It was just, honestly, but I just couldn't settle until it was done. Like, I needed...
That musical sofa.
I just needed to get home and get this sofa, and then basically.
Oh no! What's wrong?
The funniest thing is, Adam checked it all out because obviously I didn't go because it was such an impulsive purchase. There was not enough time, so I said to Adam, "You go get it." So as Adam put the sofa in the van, the woman said to him as he was driving off. Now, Adam said something like, oh, you'll enjoy your new sofa now. And she went, yeah, no more bad backs.
Bye. Oh, no.
But do you know what? it's all right. The sofa's in really good condition. Obviously, we washed it all and everything. It looks brand new. I don't think it's going to make my back worse, but obviously they got rid of it because there was something wrong with it, but no. I don't know what's wrong with it.
But you never know. Maybe they spent more time sitting in it than you will.
Maybe. That's what I'm telling myself anyway. And hopefully, if there is a problem with it, I just can't mention there's a problem with it.
No, it'd be back on Marketplace. There'll be another one in next week.
I can't do it again. My back was in agony. I literally felt like crying. I was just like, I can't do this any longer. I really can't. I was getting really, really frustrated. And just never again.
Never, fuck off, never again. literally, the number of sofas you've had in that house.
I know, and the best part about it is, do you want to hear the best part?
Go on.
So, I went to my friend's a few weeks ago, and I really, really love how they've got their back room, like just the doors opening into the garden, and I just couldn't stop thinking, we've got a back room and our lounge is in the front room. I'm not going to change it round, but I want a sofa. I want a sofa near the window so that in the summer, because, you know, spring's upon us and it's going to be summer soon, can open the doors and just sit there and have a nice time looking up. I don't actually want to bring the sofa into here because it suits that room. So I need another one.
Oh, my God. I'd murder you.
Hopefully you didn't hear that. I promised I wouldn't do it again, yeah. They promised. So, yeah, that was what I ADHD'd this week.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I'll accept it.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to us ramble again this week. We hope that doing this live, but not live, on the podcast has helped you know what to expect when you're filling out ADHD assessment forms on the self-report scale. So hopefully this has been majorly helpful for you on your journey. And I think next week we'll be talking about the ways in which certain life situations can affect you with ADHD. So that's like work, school, or college, uni. So we'll be talking all about that. So thanks for listening to us, and we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things ADHD.
Bye.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels, and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.